you. It's great to be here. It's great to actually come home and walk around the town, have a look at some of the things that have been happening in the 40 years, I think, since we left, or 30 years, or long time anyway. Okay, thank you for that. 30, oh, great. Yes. You know, and I've just really to see that the growth and the development in the community is good, but it's also, you know, very sad as we were walking around this morning and just noticed, you know, a lot of houses that are empty and derelict, and it must grieve your heart to actually see that happen to your community, your place where you love and where you live. It grieved my heart as a somebody who has Muckinburden close to my heart too, and Pat's heart. You know, it's really sad. But there are so many great things. You know, I went out to have a look at the golf course. Is there a golf course out there? Not now, not at the moment. No, I couldn't find it. It was just all dirt and weeds. And anyway, that's another matter. Anybody got any golf clubs, by the way? Oh, great. I'll talk to you later. Okay, this morning I want to share something that might leave you asking more questions than answers, right? I might want to share something that might touch your heart and bring about confusion, sorrow. It's about vulnerability, right? You might be challenged about some of the things that I'm saying or what I believe God has spoken to me about. But I believe that, you know, if we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning, then we can cut through our disappointments. We can cut through our heartaches and our hurts and our pains. And we can actually see God wanting to do something incredible within our lives. So I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit might speak to each one of us, that he'll use me in a way that will bring him glory. I believe in the scriptures. I believe in faith only. I believe in grace only. And I believe to give God the glory. Don't you? Yeah. So the 95 theses were something incredible. Let's pray together. Father God, I would pray now as we come before you and we bring an offering of our hearts to you as we listen to your word spoken. I would pray that I would give you the honour and the glory, and that each person here this morning will be open to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them specifically and uniquely. I pray that we might understand that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, that you want to take our lives today and you want to do something incredible. You want to bring about healing and restoration and renewal. So we commit this time to you and we just invite the Holy Spirit, who has promised to be with us, to touch our hearts. Amen. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to take my two-year-old granddaughter, Indigo, to an activity called Mini Mozarts. Mini Mozarts is kind of a music, physical activity, learning experience for young people. And part of the activity was to pretend that you were a bee and run around different flowers that were put on the floor around the building and go and collect pollen. And so Indigo was running around like two-year-old girls do, having a great old time, when suddenly she slipped on the carpet, fell flat on her face, put her teeth through her lips, and was just broken-hearted, you know, blood pouring out of her and tears streaming down her face. And so I raced over to her and she put her arms around me and she just cuddled me and poured her blood over my brand-new jumper, you know. But at that particular moment, I had just a glimpse, just a little glimpse of the Father's heart for a bleeding, hurting community of faith, a bleeding world. I had this glimpse that, you know, how God the Father understands the pain that our world, whether we are believers or not, is going through. And I understood something then that really touched my heart, that yes, each one of us, no matter how young or how old we are, we can actually come to a God who knows all about me, all about my needs, and wants to do something dynamic about it. In Exodus 15, verse 26, God himself declares that he is the God of healing. The Father's heart is for our healing. Let me read it. 15:26 is very easy. I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. As we go through Mark chapter 6, I've actually taken a few liberties and... that doesn't sound right, does it? I want to be honest to the word, but I've let God speak to me out of Mark chapter 6 and understand that God wants to bring about a healing to the community today, that healing did not pass out at the time of the apostles. Healing did not pass out when the scriptures were written. Healing did not end in the first century. God's heart for you and for me, the Father's heart for you and for me, is to bring about healing. And I want to share that this morning. I want to share it in a way that might touch you and might touch me, so that we can actually be people who are confident in the Word of God, and we can actually do the kind of things that God wants us to do. And this is where it becomes, I guess, a little bit hard for you and for me, because I guess we've all had moments when we might have prayed for healing or restoration of somebody and it hasn't happened. That, you know, things have gone wrong or we've lost loved ones. And that's why I'm asking that the Holy Spirit might just guard your heart at this moment as we talk about these vulnerable areas, that the Spirit will touch you and keep you safe spiritually, emotionally and spiritually. So the Father does want to heal us. It's God's ultimate desire. In fact, you know, in Revelation 21, it says that when the heavens come down and we come to the end times, that there'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more emptiness. There'll be no more dissatisfaction. There'll be no more heartache for people. When Jesus Christ comes again and brings in his kingdom in the final form, then all these things are done away with. And if that's God's desire for the future, then it's got to be somehow his desire for us now, hasn't it? You know, if God says these things are going to be true in the future, then they've got to be true for us somehow now. And as we share this, as we discover this, maybe our eyes will be open to some of the things that God wants to do. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. Healing is a kingdom of God truth. Amen. Healing is a kingdom of God truth. As you go, proclaim this message in Matthew chapter 10. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, healing is a kingdom of God truth, and we belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here now. In 1 Thessalonians, this it's almost like a Bible study, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we see that God actually wants to bring about a time of, we need a bigger screen up the back. You know, you can go down to Aldi and get a big screen so I can actually see what's up there. Oh, for forget about it. Now, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, you know, God is going to come back. Until that time, the Holy Spirit is going to preserve you and keep your spirit, your soul and your body complete and healthy until he comes again. You know, that's part of the truth, that God wants to bring about this kind of renewal for you and for me. It's about healing our emotions. It's about healing our spirit. And I believe it's also about healing our bodies. So let me just go to that chapter 1, 5, verse 23. Listen to what he says. You know, Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is going to come again. And in the meantime, God, who gives you peace, will make you completely holy. He will make you completely holy. He will look after you. And so because of that, may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until that time comes. And I love this, verse 24. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do it. You know, when I left Muckenbooden ministry over 38 years ago, the church family gave me a clock, and on the clock was, you know, thank you, Gary, for being here, da-da-da-da, and then there was a Bible verse, and the Bible verse was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, you know, God who calls you will do it. When you go home, grab your Bible, underline that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. God who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. If God says something into your life, he will do it. So the Father's promise is for healing, which I guess is rather unique. There was a time, you'll forgive me if I share stories that I've already shared in my ministry here. Okay, anybody remember them? No, good. Okay. When we were in Muckenbooden, Ben, our youngest boy, who you met a little while ago, was climbing a tree, and he fell out of the tree and hurt himself, and he came running into me crying, and he was just crying. And, you know, Pat was out doing something, so I was the one there to actually comfort him. And so I looked at him, put my hand on his shoulder and said, toughen up, son. Oh, don't cry. Real men don't cry. That's right, isn't it? That's a biblical truth, isn't it? Hey, real men don't cry. And he kept on crying, and he kept on just pouring out his heart and saying, yeah, I'm crying, I'm crying. And I said, stop it. Why are you crying? And he looked at me and he said, because I hurt. Because I hurt. That's my natural response. I hurt, I cry. You know, isn't it good to know that God the Father is not like me? Hey? God the Father is not like me. He will never, ever, ever say to you, toughen up. He will never, ever say to you, I don't understand the pain that you're going through. He will never say to you, I don't understand the complexity of your mind and the fears that you face. He will always put his arms around you and say, come to me. Pour out your heart. Speak to me. You can trust me. I will do it. I just love that whole truth. You know, in fact, when we looked at Exodus 15, 26, the Hebrew word there is Yahweh or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah or Yahweh, Rapha. And it's, you know, you're probably aware that in the Hebrew world, the name of somebody was very significant because it often referred to their character or their personality or who they were. And Jehovah Rapha means God the healer. That's actually his name. That's not his job. It's his name, God the Healer. And I find that As you look through the Hebrew Old Testament, you find this word rapha used in a couple of instances. In one instance, it's used to bring about a repair of the temple. There's a story about Elisha going to Jericho, and the people in Jericho say to him, "Hey, listen, Elisha, this is a great spot to live, but we've got a problem. The water here is bitter. The water here doesn't work, and when we put it on our crops, the crops fail." And so Elisha said, okay, bring me a bowl of salt. And he took this bowl of salt and he poured it out over the water and he said, "This water is now Rapha, healed, restored, made new, made good." And so when we're talking about God the healer, he's talking about restoration, renewal. He's talking about taking that which is distorted and making it pure. So God wants to do that in our lives continually, even now as we speak. God is my healer. Spiritual, emotional, and physical. In fact, I think everybody here would be aware that, you know, spiritual healing is a given. That's true, isn't it? You know, that's why Jesus came, to bring about spiritual healing, to restore our relationship with the Father. And I'm sure that nobody here would deny that. And we all believe in spiritual healing. Physical healing, emotional healing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, you know, "Let the peace of God guard your heart." He wants to bring about peace into our lives. Let me find that. You know, sometimes I... Do you have this experience? Can I... What time do we finish here? Okay, lunchtime, okay. You know, when I first came to Muckenburden as a young student to talk to the church here about ministry, it wasn't this building, by the way, it was a little one down the road, and there were a group of people like this came along to meet with me, and they said, "Righto, Gary, this is what we're going to do. You're going to stand up in front of the church family and they're going to fire questions at you." That's exactly what happened, you know. So we were like this together, all good fellowship, and somebody put their hand up, I think it was Pat Seeby, and said, "Do you believe the scriptures are God's word?" Right? I said, "Yeah, sure." And then, you know, we started to talk about translations and, you know, King James versus Good News type of thing. And this was really interesting. And what I find now, how many people here have got the King James Version Bible? Yeah. Oh, amen to you. And, you know, I find that I learned a lot of scriptures under the Authorised Version. And now when I quote, so often I quote from the King James Version, it just embedded in my mind, even though I read Contemporary English Version for today's people, you know. But the stuff that I've learned is the Authorised Version. It just fills my heart with a real passion for what God is saying. Anyway, just to say that I want to read to you Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7, which somebody here could probably quote. Can anybody quote Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7? Oh, yeah. You're all pretty good. You all know it. Yes. "So be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your heart, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In other words, God desires to give each one of us emotional health. He wants to give us peace. He wants to take our fears, our anxieties, our stresses, and do something about it. In fact, that word where it says guard your heart, it's a word that is used for a sentry who walks up and down the fort to make sure that no invader comes in. And so it's Jesus who is walking up and down your heart, protecting you against the attacks of the evil one. And we need to understand that, family. We need to understand that so often it's a trust issue with us when we feel that we're overwhelmed by our circumstances. The peace of God that passes all human understanding. I remember quite vividly an occasion when I was ministering in another church. I was called out at the middle of the night to a lady who was just distressed, so distressed. She was crying out and talking about, you know, demons attacking her and evil thoughts coming into her mind and horrible things that attacked her mind. And I went with another elder and we were with her for a while. And I've got to tell you, I didn't know what to do, right? I just felt completely overwhelmed by this situation. And the Spirit gave me Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. And so I said, listen, we're not going to cast out demons because I really don't know a lot about that. We're not going to do any of these kind of things. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray the promise of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. And I said to God, God, I do not understand what's going on here. I don't understand the reasons for what's happening to this lady. But we're going to claim the promise. And I asked her, would you claim the promise of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7? Will you claim it, not only verbally, but with your heart? And she said, at this stage, you know, I'm claiming anything that I can, which was okay by me. And so we prayed it. God, we're not asking for counselling or some kind of external therapy. We're not asking for anything else except to claim the promise that you said that Jesus will guard this lady's heart and mind and give her peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. And he did, just like that, just like that. You know, that's the Father's heart who wants to bring about healing, emotional healing to his people. But what about physical healing? I've got to admit that I'm a little bit overwhelmed here because I know that God doesn't always heal. Not physically anyway. In my own experience, you know, I have two occasions when I prayed for healing. One occasion I was... Can I get a little bit personal? Okay. I was having a shower. That's about as personal as it's going to get, right? And I noticed this growth on my body. And I prayed, God, this doesn't look good, right? I'm not sure what it is. Could be anything. But I don't think it's supposed to be there. Will you take it away? And he did. He did, right? Took it away. Next time I had a shower, it wasn't there. Now, I really don't care whether it was just a lump of dirt or whatever. You know, what I do care about is that God heard my prayer and he answered, right? Another time I was quite distressed, in a lot of pain, and I recalled that I used to say to my son, toughen up, you know, be a man. And so toughening up and being a man, I decided to endure the pain, not talk, tell anybody, and this it turned out to be gallstones, right? And just the intensity just grew to the point where I turned yellow and they had to take me to hospital, and I spent 2 weeks in intensive care because I was first of all unwilling to bring it to God and secondly unwilling to talk to anybody else about it. Well, actually, when I said bring it to God, I did bring it to God. I said, God, will you heal me? You've done it before. Will you do it again? And he said, yes. I'm going to heal you through the medical process. Hey? Yeah. And he did. He healed me through the medical process. And two things happened to me during that process. First of all, there was a time when, you know, my mind, which is always running at 1,000 miles an hour. Does your mind run at 1,000 miles an hour? Yep. Well, we're in Muckenburden, maybe 500 kilometres an hour or something. Okay. But it was just so full of peace, you know. Just everything was taken except the thought of God. Another thing that happened, and you might want to talk to me about this later on, up until this particular point, you know, I would suffer from migraines. Did I have migraines when I was in Mukka? I think you created them for me. But, but you know, I'd suffer migraines. You can talk to Pat about that, you know. And I'd be laid up for days with this debilitating sickness or whatever. But we're maybe talking about 20 years ago this happened. I haven't had a migraine since, right? So if you suffer migraines, get your gallbladder out. No, just joking. But, you know, God continues to heal. We don't always understand the process. We don't always understand how he does it. We just need to know that he will do it. I should get into Mark 6, shouldn't I? Okay, in Mark 6, I'll just summarise the next bit because I've just gone over the top. But Mark 6 actually gives us a plan and a purpose. You know, how you and I can experience the Father's heart in healing in whatever form, in whatever manner he wants to do it, right? Are you prepared to let God touch you in the way that he wants to, not the way you want to? Are you prepared for that? Righto. Well, if you want healing, if you want God to do a work in your life, the first thing is bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verses 58 onwards, they talked about all the people brought the sick and the infirm to Jesus. James says, you have not because you ask not. It's a very simple fact, you know. Often we just do not ask. Bring it to Jesus. Bring your need to Jesus. Ask him. I was with my granddaughter once in the car and I was taking her home and she was sitting in the back and I have a little thumb drive that I carry around, not this one but one like it, that's got all the Frozen songs on it. You know Frozen? Has Frozen reached Muckenbooden yet? Yeah, thawed out halfway. yeah. Well, it's got all the Frozen songs in it, right? And so I put this into my little USB holder in the car and started to play the Frozen songs. And, you know, that song, last time I used this illustration, I said, Let It Be, but that's the Beatles, isn't it? Let It Go, that's right, thank you. Yeah, Let It Go. And I start to sing it. I've heard it so many times, I know the words. I just don't know the title, you know. And I started to sing. And Indy said, Granddad, Granddad, stop singing. That's my favourite song. okay. Well, that was fine, so I stopped singing. And another occasion, I was taking her home, but I was in her dad's car because he'd borrowed my car. And she said to me, Granddad, let's put on Frozen. And I said to her, oh, no, I can't do that because this is your dad's car and the USB's in my car. And so she said, Siri, find Frozen. If you don't know what Siri is, ask any two-year-old. You know, they'll tell you exactly what it is. But, you know, she had no hesitation in asking for what she needed. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you know, if we ask believing, then we have the confidence that God hears our prayers and that he will answer. So bring it to Jesus. Break through the barriers. Break through the barriers. In Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, we discover that Jesus couldn't actually do any works of healing in that place because the people lacked faith. They lacked faith. Faith is a killer of God's work. Doubt and fear. It's It's just so incredibly true. Mark chapter 6. The people there could not do any, or Jesus could not do any work because the people could not and did not have faith. You know, it's a truth that you and I need to recognise, that we, if we want to hear God at work, then we need to break through the barriers of doubt and fear. So often, you know, I have doubts about when people come and say, I'd like you to pray for particularly physical healing, you know. I ask God, you know, what do you want here? And I think, okay, at this particular moment, the best I can do is pray, God, we know that you have a heart for healing, and sometimes you heal in ways that we don't fully understand. This person here is asking for healing, and we're asking the Spirit to do a work in that person's life. And that's the way I pray. And sometimes, you know, healing happens. We were at a Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and one of the men there, who is in his 80s, has been having sleeping problems. He just couldn't sleep, and had other health issues. But he asked us to pray for him. And under the Spirit of God, we just prayed that this man would have a good night's sleep, that he would sleep the sleep of a baby. Oh, babies don't actually sleep that well, do they? Really? Anyway, have a good night's sleep. And that was 3 weeks ago. I spoke to him last Thursday, and he's still sleeping 7 hours a night, right? 7 hours a night, you know? And people say that God does not heal in miraculous ways. Break through the barriers. Bring it to Jesus. Break through the barriers. Believe. Believe what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, go out and heal. And they believed him. They went out and they healed. They cast out demons. They gave sight to the blind. Lame people walked. Believe that Jesus can do these things. You know, it's a matter of claiming the promises. But it's not just our words and our actions need to be in harmony, right? I remember once when I was taking my son to an activity. He, in the days before, you had to have seatbelts and all that, and he was in the front seat with me, and he was standing up. He was about 5, I think, or 6, about that age. Could have been a bit older, probably not. Anyway, he was standing up in the front seat, and I said, sit down. You know, that's dangerous. Sit down. And he didn't sit down. You probably recognise who that is by his rebellion. And he wouldn't sit down. And so I said, sit down. No, he wouldn't sit down. So I stopped the car and I looked at him and I said, if you don't sit down, I'm going to turn around and we're going home and you're going to miss this activity that you wanted to go to. So that got him. He sat down, right? A little bit down the track, he said to me, Dad, I'm standing up on the inside. You know, if we're going to believe Jesus, our words have to be in harmony with our actions, right? There is no way that you can say to God, I'm standing up on the inside, right? Do you want God to do a dynamic work in your life, whatever that is? Renewal, refreshment, revitalization, healing, strength, overcoming vulnerabilities to the point where you are confident in the things of God? Bring it to Jesus. Break through whatever barrier you have. Believe Jesus' words. And then watch him do something beautiful and incredible in your life. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray. And if you actually want prayer this morning for healing in whatever form, then I'm going to invite you to come forward, maybe sit over there and I'll pray with you. The elders will come and pray with you, right? That's okay, isn't it? Yep. Okay. Father God, thank you. Thank you that the Father's heart still is to bring about healing into our world today. Thank you that the Father reaches out to people who are bleeding and hurting, and he still touches them with his love. But he wants to touch each one of us in a physical, dynamic, powerful way. So my prayer is, as the Holy Spirit just speaks into our hearts this morning, that we might break through whatever barriers we have put up and let Jesus do the kind of work that he wants to do. Whatever that may be, however great or small, all these things are important to you, Father. So I just commit this church family to you right now. And if the Spirit is moving in anybody's heart, give them the courage to actually stand up and say, I need prayer. Bless your family. Amen.